Lesson 18. Prairie Women. One day in 1975, Joanna Stratton was exploring the attic of her grandmother's house in Topeka, Kansas, when she came across a large cache of yellowing documents stored in boxes. They turned out to be handwritten memoirs describing life on the Kansas frontier from the 1850s to the 1890s. They had been collected by Stratton's great-grandmother, Lilla Day Monroe. She herself had experienced the joys and tribulations of frontier life when her family had moved from Indiana to Kansas in 1884, as the frontier period was drawing to a close. Her family settled in Wakini on a treeless tract in the western part of the state. Monroe married and became an attorney. Later, with her family, she moved to Topeka, where she practiced law and campaigned tirelessly for women's rights. The hardships patiently borne by the Kansas pioneers remained fixed indelibly in her memory. By the early 1920s, Monroe became concerned that the vital role that women had played would soon be forgotten, since no written record of their experiences existed. She decided to rectify that by collecting personal, written passages of Kansas women who still remembered those days. As word of her project spread throughout the state, more and more women responded until she had collected 800 first-hand accounts filled with vivid vignettes of pioneer life on the Kansas frontier. It was evident from these recollections that shelter was the paramount concern of new arrivals. For a family settling in the treeless western part of the state, a plow was the chief requisite. Drawn by oxen, horses, or humans, it prepared the land for farming and provided the only building material available, sods. These were solid blocks of earth cut from strips of soil that were used for the walls and roofs of the one-room frontier homes. Emma Brown of Mitchell County recalled life with her children in a sod house during a period of inclement weather when her husband was away on a cattle drive. The dirt roof leaked, soaking everything inside. "How happy we were to have the sun shine out again," she wrote. She tells how she and the children carried everything outside to dry. But alas, her account goes on, the next morning the rain was pouring down again. It continued for another week. Emma Louisa Smith of South Sapa Creek pointed out another problem caused by the lack of timber. "There was not a tree or even a bush in sight to furnish us with fuel." Fortunately, the early settlers discovered an unusual source. The dried dung of cattle and buffalo was both combustible and plentiful. The task of collecting it was one of the many that were delegated to the children. Emma Smith concluded that the sod house and cow chips were two great factors in making possible the settlement of this country at so early a date. Despite the need for every pair of hands to do a share of the work, the children's schooling was not neglected. Those who could read and write taught their children at home. Later, when local settlers organized schools, Emma Handy conducted classes at Oak Creek in a dirt-floored schoolhouse built of sods. She wrote, "It had neither blackboard, teacher's desk, nor chairs. The seats were small logs split and supported by pegs. Two small apertures cut into one of the walls provided the only source of light. The dirt floor served as a chalkboard, with a long pointed stick used to write letters and numbers." Life on the frontier was not for the squeamish. There were no doctors, nurses, or hospitals. When women gave birth, usually no one but a neighbor was in attendance. With medical supplies difficult to obtain, maladies such as malaria had to run their course. Injuries were frequent, so residents in Kearney County were fortunate that a woman named Amy Locks could act as surgeon when necessary. According to the account provided by her son, she closed wounds with fiddle string and a common needle. Once, with a razor and her embroidery scissors, she removed three fingers from the crushed hand of a railroad brakeman. Lilla Day Monroe died in 1929 before she had completed her project. The manuscripts lay undisturbed in the attic of the family home for many years until Joanna Stratton came upon them. She had the pleasure of editing the writings and of bringing her great-grandmother's work to completion when in 1981, Pioneer Women, Voices from the Kansas Frontier, was published.